White Sox Weekly, the Chicago baseball conversation on the new flagship home of the Sox, 720 WGN.
Carmen and Company, Harry Tynan. It's also White Sox Weekly. Did the beat for 1 hour. Hope you're having a great Saturday. 312-981-7200. Jennings mentioned the end of the Cubs game. There was one guy standing up on a rooftop with no shirt on, jumping up and down in the bleachers. I mean, everybody who's gone out to a White Sox game this week in the cold, sat out there at Wrigley today, you are great baseball fans. That is,
and you'll soon be coming down with pneumonia.
Well, that too, but that's a great fan. Harry, would you go in the cold? Was that you?
I would never take my shirt off in the cold. I have trouble taking my shirt off in the shower.
I didn't even go to the shirt off portion, but that's good to know.
Yeah. No, I've gone to some freezing cold Bears games, yeah. And I've gone the Sox playoff games, Sox opening days, Cubs playoff games, Cubs opening games have been very, very cold. But the key there is just layer up and get a lead.
2005 World Series Game 2, White Sox, Astros, Paul Konerko, Grand Slam. Mm-hmm. The weather was miserable. But that's
especially for Brad Lidge.
Right, but that's worth it. It's the World Series. April, not worth it. That's just...
opening day is worth it. Opening day is worth it. How many home runs did Scotty Podge have all that year?
I mean, look, I love give me 50 degrees, sunshine, I'm there. Raining, wind, I'm not tough enough for that, Harry.
I find that hard to believe. Well, it's not like we grew up in California. I know some California guys that grew up in Southern California. They're a little, little pampered. It's 58 out. They break out the down jacket. You know anybody like that?
Yeah, well, I think he might be waiting to join us on the line here. Darren Jackson, he doesn't announce when it's snowing in Minnesota either when they call games, and he did grow up in California. And I think Harry just called you soft, DJ. What do you think about that?
I'm saying he crossed the line right there. I mean, he crossed the line. He didn't tiptoe over it. He just walked right past it and just kept going with that comment.
I don't know if it's necessarily you, but I was out in California. I've only been out there, I don't know, 5-6 times. I was out there once. It was like 58, and people were wearing down jackets, DJ. And when it rains, oh, my God, I would have loved to have been there last week. When it rains, they like lead off the news with rain. Am I right?
No, you're correct. You're not incorrect. No, but it's your lifestyle, man. It rains. Everything shuts down out there. As a kid, you just like the movies. When it rained in Southern California, you were looking out the window with tears coming down your face. Go, I can't go out and play. I mean, you literally didn't go out in the rain in Southern California. Everything shuts down, and then you go out to the rest of the world where it's snowing, it's raining. You got carpenters out there hammering away, building stuff, and I'm like going, they're not supposed to do that in the rain, are they?
Different world. So when you were playing and there was a game that was postponed due to inclement weather, would you find the positives in that, or would you be bummed out that you didn't get a chance to take the field?
Well, that's a good question, because if I stunk at the time I was going up, yes, all right, maybe tomorrow I'll be better. But, yeah, there was times where you were happy as a pig and slop that there was no baseball today, because you were thinking that you would come out of that time and all of a sudden you'd be better. Even without any practice, you're like, I'm going to be better. So you did, but then there's other times where you're locked in. You're going, man, I got to keep my mind right. I got to keep it locked in right here. I can't let it go. So you literally go to the hotel, you go to the ballparks, sitting there if it's canceled, and you keep that frame of mind and you do not let it wander at all. And you take it into the next game, whether it be a day, two. There's not many times where guys are going to say, we'll play in 3 days from now. That's a tough one to overcome. I don't care how locked in you are. You don't play ball for 3 days, that's going to affect you.
DJ Darren Jackson, White Sox Radio, alongside Ed Farmer with us here on 720 WGN. It's White Sox Weekly. Did you have five MLB baseball players on your Little League team? I read that today, Darren. Is that true?
On my Little League team, I don't know if they played in the big leagues.
Okay, maybe play the minor.
I'd say at least five guys that played in the minor leagues, and let me think, two that played in the big leagues, Timmy Leon and myself. And then there were a few more that ended up playing in the minor leagues. But, I was pretty fortunate that way. We had some talent where I grew up.
I enjoyed your story this week. I was listening, I believe it was the Wednesday game, when you were talking about how you started working out with Daryl Strawberry. And he was like twice the size of everybody else.
Boy, I'll tell you what. The story is this, Harry. Look. So 1981 comes around. First of all, 1980, when he got drafted first pick in the nation by the Mets, the whole talk of the high school players in town was Daryl Strawberry's the greatest. He just got drafted, all this. Well, the next year, I'm a senior, and everybody's talking about guys in Southern California, high school players in Southern California. They're going to be first rounders. Shane Mack, who became a real good big league ball player, was a big name out in Southern Cal that time. I was one of those names, a few other guys, and all of a sudden, I see a few guys, and they're saying, we played against Strawberry. You're better than him. I go, wow, man, that's good for the ego, and that's good for the draft. Yeah. I thought that was pretty cool until I actually worked out with him, and I went, that dude was a liar. that guy flat lied to me. There's no way he ever could have thought I was better than Daryl Strawberry, because I'd never seen any talent like that. And I was playing catch with him, throwing batting practice to him, and running with him. I go, No, this is like a man compared to me being in preschool. There's no comparison.
That's awesome. What do you guys do, by the way, with day off yesterday, day off today? I mean, are you losing it up there?
Thank goodness they have those sky walkways here to where it still connects the whole town, and you can go out, walk around, go in the store, get a cup of coffee, do whatever. You can move around still without feeling like you're crazy. And we've got a nice gym here across the street that you can go in and work out. So basically, I get up, go work out, take a little walk, got restaurants that are connected, hang out with some guys from the team, Herm Schneider and Ed Farmer, and I sit around and have some breakfast or something. And, it's just, you make it through the day. Watching a little TV. I read a lot of books. I just, matter of fact, left having an early dinner with Ed. Now he just left me, and he's hanging out with a couple of guys that came in the restaurant. So it's just tag team. Whoever you come across, you're spending time with.
It's 5 o'clock, DJ. You guys are having dinner? This is like...
Look. My wife was on me earlier today when I told her I was having an early dinner. She goes, what are you, an old retiree? You go, hey, it is what it is.
Dude, Hawk hasn't even sat down to dinner yet.
Well, Hawk's really young at heart, so don't put that on.
That's true. That's true. Mercy, have you been to the Mall of America, which, of course, is on the site of the old Twin Stadium?
I've been out there, but that was years and years ago that I went out there, man. That was when I played for the Twins up here, and then a couple of years after that, when I had family up here, I went out to that Mall of America. But, I haven't been out there in a long time. Probably changed.
So here, let's talk about the ball club here, DJ. And
we tried avoiding, it as long as we could.
No, we're fine. It was a little slump right now. Lost 6, 7, 8 of 10. That's okay. It's part of the process here. But I want to talk to you about Yoan Moncada and what you're seeing. And Ricky Renteria has talked about how he's got to stay with it through an entire game. If he's not hitting at the plate, that he can't allow it to bring it out to the field. And the error the other night, and I almost thought, what was more alarming to me, DJ, was the throw down to second, and he just dropped it. And not that he was going to get the base stealer, but it just was clear to me that his mind was wandering. I mean, what are you seeing?
Yeah, the only way I can really describe what I'm seeing, because physical errors are going to take place, and you just mentioned, Carm, the error that he made. They gave him a hit on that bouncer that was to second base.
Yeah, they did.
They gave him a hit on that. Huh? That's crazy, right?
Yes. But, yes.
Yeah, they gave him a hit on that, which Ed and I just marked in our book as an error because it was a one hopper to, one step to his left waist high. So, that's a little lack of focus there, which is important to do, focus on everything, but not a mental mistake, just a loss of memory there for a minute. Then the throw down to second, like you mentioned, he kind of reached up, jumped up a little bit, and short-armed it where, you got to catch the ball. And it's these things that all of a sudden you take notice about younger players where you're going, okay, wait a minute, what's going on out there? Because if you're striking out 24 times in 12 games and you're making mistakes defensively and you're not getting down squeeze bunts and stuff like this, there's a problem. There's a lapse in concentration and focus that's needed for you to you know, be able to stay up here and do the job. Now, I don't know. This is something Ed and I talked about off the mic. Now, he's at a point where the team says, yeah, we're just going to let him make these mistakes in front of the world. And can he handle it mentally? Can he sit there and say, yeah, this isn't going to bother me. I'm fine. I'll just keep progressing. I'll get better, better. Because the talent's still there. He's the same guy with amazing talent. Or do you say, let's let him go somewhere, get his swing and his mind together, and then bring up when he's hot again? So I have a feeling that right now the key is just let him keep growing and working through this. But you've got to remember, when somebody struggles in front of the world, you can put extra pressure on yourself and never recover. So we're hoping that's not the case, that mentally this is not going to bother him. He's strong as can be. But you never know what's really going on inside a guy's heart if it's bothering him so much that it's hard to recover from. And I'm thinking right at this point, as long as he's got a manager that keeps patting him on his shoulder and said, we're not worried about you, he'll probably be fine, because that's what it takes. You know somebody believes in you, and then you just say, I'm fine. I'm not going to worry about it.
Would you drop him down in the order?
Me personally, I would, but that's because I've always been known, and I've said this, that I always think younger players, they settle in nicer when they're down in that 7-8 spot, because there's no pressure on you to be the man. You know, the leader, there's like five positions in the batting order to me that have like a built-in job assignment. Leadoff man's got a job assignment to me. The number two guy does, 3, 4, and 5. These guys are all, to me, guys that have big responsibilities to do something special. After that, you're kind of getting the guys that are going to pick guys up that didn't get it done in front of them. But I think he would feel more comfortable. You alleviate the pressure of him not being the guy that's trying to set the table. I'd move him back personally.
Hey, Darren, which is more surprising to you after 12 games, that Matt Davidson has 5 homers or that Matt Davidson has 9 walks?
Both. No, nothing. Matt is so strong and so powerful, it would never surprise me if he had 5 home runs over a stretch of 6 games, to be honest with you. He could hit the ball out any direction. And the walks, honestly, that doesn't really surprise me. Matt's, I think, a better hitter than most people really have had a chance to see. If you check his minor league stats before he ever got to the big leagues with Arizona Diamondbacks, the dude crushed. I mean, he just had really, really important big numbers to get him to the big leagues with the Diamondbacks briefly when he struggled a little bit. But then he was back to the minor leagues. But I think if you really make an evaluation of who he has been as a player, what you're saying right now is not too much of a surprise.
Let's talk about hitting with the runners in scoring position, Darren. And coming into the Twin Series, White Sox were 3 for their last 46, which is obviously not going to get it done. Are you seeing anything in particular, trying to do too much, perhaps?
Do we have to talk about this, Tom?
this is part of the growth. I'm holding that this is something that's happening early in the season, and the White Sox are going to get out of it based on the advice that you're about to give. That's why I'm bringing it up.
Yeah. No, you just, that's it. You're out. But this is a team that obviously can't do any worse than that right now, unless you just say 0-for-50. But they're not going to. They're going to start putting a little more pressure on the pitcher. I mean, eventually your mind kind of takes over and goes, why am I putting the pressure on me? I'm walking up there, this guy's on the hook, not me. Bases are loaded, one out. Why am I swinging at everything, this guy? You've got to put that kind of pressure. You got to turn it off of you and put it on the pitcher. And the minute you do that, you start relaxing. You see the ball better. You let the ball come to you. You're not jumping out going, I have to go get the baseball. I'm in a hurry. The minute you take that and you put that onus on him, things change. And I'll bet pretty quickly the guys are going to be doing that. I have a feeling, because you look at video, you're listening to your coaches, and you're constantly told, stop doing that, put the pressure on him, and things will slightly start turning around, especially after somebody like Abreu comes up, hits a big home run, and gives you a lead, or Davidson, or somebody does something special. The other guys will all relax in those situations. So I think we're getting to it. It just better be the next time we play, so we don't have to keep talking about it.
The familiar voice is that, of course, of Darren Jackson. Ed Farmer, Darren Jackson, have the Sox and the Twins hopefully tomorrow at 1:10. Andy Mazur's got every White Sox pregame right here on GN. 12:35 pregame tomorrow with Andy. Do you think we'll play, or are they going to have skiing competition at Target Field?
Let me just tell you guys, right now I stood up in my room in my hotel and I'm looking out at a blizzard. I mean, I literally cannot see the buildings across the street from where we are right now. And it's been doing that since about 8-something this morning. It's been looking exactly like this. There's probably, since it started, about 2 to 3 feet of snow. Playing tomorrow, I don't want to go out there and even walk across the street into this stuff. But, I don't think... If it doesn't change by sometime this evening, there's no way we play tomorrow. There's just no way. This is just terrible up here, guys. I've never, ever, I'm, as you said, from Southern California, and I've been in the snow in a lot of places, but I've never seen anything like this. This is crazy.
All those years, they made fun of the Humphrey Dome, and boy, they could use it this weekend, huh?
You're not kidding, and they do have a dome right down the road here that's a football stadium that also is used as a baseball stadium. They're going to have to work out a deal to say, in these conditions, can we borrow your dome, please? That might make a little more sense.
I was actually surprised that maybe that, wasn't put on the table here. Let's get these games in, because, the Twins haven't announced when they're going to be made up, and there's a bunch of options. But when you miss a whole series, I mean, now you're... that's going to create some problems down the line. People are going to be playing a lot of baseball, all crammed in. And Darren Jackson's going to have to do a lot of announcing. And that's not going to be easy for DJ, even though he's this talented, right?
Well, let me just tell you, I look forward to the challenge, man. There for 6 straight. Forget that. Let's see how that works out. But, yeah, no, it's a bad situation. And we did mention the other day at the ballpark to somebody that was an employee there. It's like, yeah, why again didn't they put a roof on this place? The infrastructure where it is, where it's located, couldn't support it. They didn't have the space because they needed a bigger lot, all this stuff. So there's a reason why there's no roof on this ballpark, but you got to work out a plan at times like this when you know something like this is a possibility to possibly go down the road or go out of town or just schedule the games better. Warm weather only the first month. That's it. No places like this.
Which was my solution, by the way. Earlier in the show, I brought up all spring training games in cold weather cities should be played in Arizona. People love going to games down there.
Yeah, the owners are going to go for that.
There's enough money in the game. We could figure this out.
But he did have a really good idea after that, which was to have doubleheaders and just charge more. Because that's the reason we don't have doubleheaders, right, is the owners want 81 gates. What if you charged, twice the price for a doubleheader?
Not twice, DJ, but like say you charge like 125% of a normal ticket, so it wouldn't be a complete loss of revenue,
You guys are lost it. That's why they have split doubleheaders, so they can get the double money. They just split the game. They do doubleheaders back-to-back anymore. They don't want to do those. No, they're going to split them. That's simple as that. It's crazy talk, you two. Crazy talk.
We are crazy.
Well, we're doing our best in goodwill, though. No, this is a solid, good faith show trying to make baseball as good as it can possibly be.
Man, you go from working with Farmio to talking with Carmio.
Well, that's a big drop right there. DJ, good to talk to you. Always great to see you. We'll see you at the ballpark when you guys get on back. And you're not going to enjoy Oakland, back to the home base. That'll be some better weather for you.
That's a fact. Thanks, Carr. Thanks, Harry. I appreciate the time.
Our pleasure. Darren Jackson, DJ.
Thanks, DJ. Terrific.
Hopefully you'll hear him tomorrow afternoon, although judging by that,
Blizzard.
Seem like it's what's going on, man. It's these things happen in Minnesota. Quick timeout. Special moment for White Sox fans this week we'll bring you, 720 WGN. See the White Sox take on the Houston Astros Friday, April 20th at 7:10 p.m. The first 20,000 fans we'll receive an MLB Network White Sox tote bag. Harry, you love those. You can be sure to stay after the game for the first Friday night fireworks of the season. Purchase your tickets today at WhiteSox.com. Also, big moment for the Sox. I'm a little bit tongue-in-cheek here, but there was a big moment for White Sox fans this week. They were honored.
Oh, yes, they were.
And we're going to do that coming up after the 5:30 news. Also, a reminder to come out to the park on April the 23rd to the 25th as your Sox take on the Seattle Mariners. All fans in attendance will receive a 2018 White Sox wall calendar. It features Abreu, Moncada, and more. You can purchase your tickets today by visiting WhiteSox.com or calling 866-SOX-GAME.
By the way, Minnesota has called tomorrow's game already.
They have?
Yep.
David Jennings on top of his game.
No, that's thanks to Krista.
Well, Krista Flores is on top of her
game. So there will be no Sox game tomorrow either.
Did Dave Zaslowski send that out? Does he know? Because we need to let him know, our White Sox incredible producer. That's okay. Well, we should call DJ back and let him know.
DJ would be like a cab to the airport right now.
Are we sure?
Hey, if Dave Jennings said it, it's true. Listen, it's the voice of God, man.
Okay, I'm not seeing it
according
anymore.
According to what Krista just told me, he's been following Minnesota.
Uh-huh.
So they called it already.
Okay.
I have confirmation from the Twins. Okay. The Minnesota Twins have announced that tomorrow, Sunday, April 15th, 1:10 p.m. game, has been postponed due to inclement weather.
Okay, there you go.
Due to Matt Clement weather?
All right, let everybody know.
All right.
That means Frank Fontana's got a show tomorrow. And that means that Brian Noonan will be here at 3. That means that I'm coming over to see you, Harry. And that means that we got to take a quick time out and get into news.
You can just sleep over because you're coming over to watch hockey.
That's true. I could. Let's just go all day. 720 WGN. White Sox Weekly continuing. Myself, Mark Carmen, and Harry Tynowitz. Great to be with you this rainy, cold, miserable Saturday afternoon. White Sox game tomorrow with the Twins has been snowed, blizzarded out. So
They did play Thursday.
Well, that's right. My bad. With the exception of the 4-0 loss on Thursday, the rest of the series snowed out up in Minnesota. They'll have to figure out game times at some point.
A lot of games to make up.
Yeah. White Sox fans, join us as the White Sox take on the Houston Astros on Saturday, April 21st. That's a 6:10 p.m. game. First 15,000 fans will receive a White Sox quarter zip pullover. It's presented by Guaranteed Rate, your trusted teammate throughout the mortgage process. Get started today at rate.com. To purchase tickets, visit whitesox.com. So you remember, Harry, are you a Wheel of Fortune watcher? Or are you a Wheel watcher? I'm a Wheel watcher.
Yeah, I prefer Jeopardy over Wheel of Fortune, but I will watch, you know, usually when I see Wheel of Fortune, it's because something happened on the show. I don't really sit down to watch it.
Did you ever sit down, like, back in the day? Were you a Wheel watcher?
I was not but I did have I do have a Vanna White story.
Okay, I want to hear that, and I want to tell the Papa Fred trying out for Wheel of Fortune story. But the reason
I've never heard that, you've got to tell that.
It's a solid story. But the reason that we are bringing it up is because White's, you know, when they did Chicago sports teams and they listed the Cubs and the Blackhawks and the Bulls. And who am I missing?
The Bears.
And the Bears,
maybe
right.
Maybe if you hosted the show every Sunday, you would remember their name.
It's out of season. These things happen. All those were listed, and the White Sox were not on there. And White Sox fans, deservedly so, were very angry at the Wheel. Well, the Wheel made it right this week.
G. You got it. 1G. You have $2,100, CJ.
I would like to solve the puzzle, Pat.
Go ahead.
Chicago White Sox fans.
There you go. You got it. How's it going?
Thank you.
You were
thank
thinking you. About spinning again, weren't you?
Oh,
you were
yeah.
thinking
about
it. There you go. People, Chicago White Sox fans. And then Pat and Vanna White went on to explain that they felt bad that they had slighted the White Sox, but the reason why they did it is because there was a space in between White and Sox, which mm-hmm. doesn't exactly ring true to me, but they took care of the White Sox fans. I thought that was a nice gesture by the Wheel.
By the way, you just reminded me of something.
Yeah.
I was at another station, you know, a while ago.
Yeah.
And I had the greatest idea. There was a station vehicle. And, you know, it had all the Sox logos on it. We had the Sox on that station. And I suggested this name every year, and they never used it. And now the White Sox are here on WGN, where baseball is meant to be. The White Sox and WGN, what a marriage this is. Every game, flagship home of the Chicago White Sox. Okay, there's a van, and it's got the White Sox name on it, and the logo's all over it. We should call it Vanna White Sox. Van of White Sox.
Anybody like that idea? 312-981-7200. Text line,
come
please.
Come on.
Van of White Sox?
Van of White Sox.
You've got so many better ones than that.
Call it Van of White Sox, then.
I mean, it's okay. It's okay. You want to hear the Papa Fred story real quick?
Yeah.
You know, we in the Carter family, we watched Wheel of Fortune at dinner a lot growing up. And so Fred, he loves his Sunday crossword puzzle.
Mm-hmm.
He loves, you know, his New York Times. He does the, what's it called, the acoustic or the acrostic, whatever it is. The hard ones. He does them. Papa Fred, lot smarter than his son who's talking on the radio right now. So we go out to try out for Wheel of Fortune.
To Los Angeles?
To Los Angeles. It's spring break. It's the trip. Part of the trip is we're going to try out. So, and I'm like, you know, I'm geeked up. My dad's going to be on Wheel of Fortune. Let's go.
Yeah.
Let's get him on there. So they're going through these puzzles, and everyone is, you know, in the room. They're spinning the wheel, the whole thing. You know, it's a mock wheel and whatnot.
Right.
Well, Fred is sitting there, full tunnel vision, Harry, trying to answer these puzzles.
Uh-huh.
Well, everybody else in the room, as the wheel spinning's going nuts,
And they want contestants that have, like, personality, that are goofballs.
Yeah, so Fred solves, like, four of the puzzles. And I'm thinking to myself, this is a lock. My dad is on Wheel of Fortune all day long. And then they announce, okay, the contestants we'd like to interview, Sally, Richard, Betsy, not Fred Carmen. And it was all of them who were going nuts while that wheel was spinning.
Yeah.
And my dad was sitting there just full focus, no emotionless the whole thing. He didn't make it on the Wheel of Fortune.
You know, that's terrible. Your dad's a bright guy. He was one of the great high school quarterbacks in the history of Chicago at John Marshall. You know, Carm...
Marshall High School, yes. John Marshall Law School, no.
Right, for the Commandos. Family Feud does that also. Family Feud, they go for people that are, you know, like fun to watch as opposed to intelligent.
Right. Well, it's TV. They're trying to entertain.
Do you know, somebody here at WGN auditioned for Jeopardy and came very, very close to making it about 20 years ago and did not get in.
Who was that?
Bill Leff.
Oh, well, Bill Leff would be a great Jeopardy contestant.
He got like 96% right.
Well, that's not good enough, apparently, for Jeopardy. Is that why that one is pure, basically?
I think so, because Leff would be both, you know, great contestant and funny as heck.
I didn't know that Bill was that's like...
Oh, yeah.
That's some serious knowledge.
Well,
right
when
there.
Well, when all you do at home is stay home and talk to your toys through a locked brake front...
That's the life of Bill Leff.
Mm-hmm.
All right, White Sox Weekly continuing. Remember, parents, register your little one for the White Sox Kids Club during your next trip to Guaranteed Rate Field. Membership completely free and available to any kids 13 and under. You can stop by the Xfinity Kids Zone located in left field to secure a custom kids glove, a custom kids club ID badge. For more information, visit whitesox.com/kidsclub. Quick timeout, 720 WGN. White Sox Weekly, 720 WGN. Carson Fulmer will be with us right after 6 o'clock. Adam Hogue had a conversation with Jason Benetti. We'll get you part of that. And, Harry, you know, the NBA playoffs are getting underway today.
Yes.
And tomorrow, the Houston Rockets will be taking on the Minnesota Timberwolves. Former Bulls head coach Tom Thibodeau.
Yeah, Jimmy Butler, Taj Gibson.
Right. Derrick Rose not on the playoff roster because he got signed too late in the season, might be back with the club next year. But the reason I bring it up, the Rockets all-star point guard Chris Paul, earlier this week, it was announced he's the new part owner of the Winston-Salem Dash. That's your Class A White Sox affiliate. He was born in Winston-Salem, Chris Paul was. He played college hoop at Wake Forest, which is also in Winston-Salem. And now... He is, I think it's because he loves Luis Robert, he loves Dylan Cease, and he loves Dane Dunning, he loves Blake Rutherford, he loves Mike Rodolfo and Gavin Sheets, and Luis Alexander Basabe. He loves the Winston-Salem Dash, and I think he has some hometown love going on there. So he is a part owner of the Winston-Salem Dash, the White Sox adding on some, and one of the great point guards in the game today.
That is very, very cool. You know, I got to go to a Wake Forest basketball game about 18 years ago, and I saw Josh Howard play. Remember how great Josh Howard was with the Dallas Mavericks?
Lefty, flyer.
Yeah, number five. Marijuana sort of curbed his career.
These things happen.
And I had a visit with Dave Odom, the coach of Wake Forest, and I asked him, I remember asking him if he thought that there was another college coach that looked more like his mascot than he did. because he looks a lot like that Demon Deacon, Dave.
It's weird how that works out. Like, I always thought that the Meyers looked like the Blue Demon. Like, Joey Meyer, legit, and this is a compliment somehow, some way, and Ray Meyer, they looked like the DePaul Blue Demon to me. Do you see that at all? Am I nuts?
The DePaul Blue
Demon. I mean, Ricky Renteria doesn't look like Southpaw, but I do think that...
Joey Meyer looks like the DePaul Blue Demon.
Yeah.
No, the only other guy
he's morphing into Willie the Wildcat now, doing games alongside Dave Ennett. But there's something there, I'm telling you.
I always thought that Gene Cady.
Yeah, he looks like the Boilermaker.
Looked like the Boilermaker.
Absolutely, 100%.
Put a helmet on him, give him that black sweatshirt with the P, gold P. I think he looked like him.
Right. All right.
And Dave Odom's kid, of course, was the head coach at Baltimore County.
UMBC, the first 16 seed ever to upset a one seed.
UMBC.
All right. When we come on back here, we're going to have our text question of the day, and we're also going to have our minor league report. Carson Fulmer coming up after 6 o'clock, 720 WGN. Here we go, Harry. Our text question is sponsored by CJ Wilson Mazda and ZoomZoomNation.com, where they're always trying to make your car shopping fun. We're gonna jump off the bridge that we just went down and change up our question, because people are already texting in that Porter Moser looks like the Wolf in pre-transformation for Loyola.
That's good.
So what Chicago White Sox of all time? It could be on the roster now. It could be back in the day.
Could be like an announcer, anybody that was a GM.
Sure, absolutely.
Manager.
Who resembles Southpaw the most? Who resembles Southpaw, the White Sox mascot, the most? Sponsored by CJ Wilson Mazda and ZoomZoomNation.com, where they're always trying to make your car shopping fun. Harry.
It's an awesome question.
One of the great questions of all time. I was going to do, maybe you know the answer to this, who can you name? Matt Davidson is the first White Sox player since someone to hit 5+ homers in the first 11 games of the season. Could you have answered that? We can actually throw that one out there, too. Why not have two?
Okay.
Matt Davidson is the first Sox player since who to hit 5 homers or more. In this case, this person hit more in the team's first 11 games. You can throw that in too. 312-981-7200. Now it's time for...
It's a simple game. You throw the ball. You hit the ball. You catch the ball. You got it!
It's time for Carm on the Farm.
Teach me something new, man. I need to learn.
Your White Sox minor league report on White Sox Weekly 720 WGN.
Look at Dan Long just whipping up opens, Harry.
Love it.
It's actually, like, let's call it like Carm and Harry on the Farm. I don't want to make this...
Carm on the Farm rhymes.
All right, fine. Carm on the Farm.
There'll be plenty of Harry stuff.
The AAA Charlotte Knights beat Scranton 6-5. Sold out crowd last night at BB&T Ballpark, Harry.
No snow.
That's true, too. The new extra inning rule was in full effect. Runner on second to start the inning.
Such a dumb rule.
I love that rule.
Such a stupid rule.
The Knights took advantage.
What inning did they do that in?
In the bottom of the 10th inning.
Ah.
As, you know, it was they were down 5-4. You had third baseman Patrick Leonard came to the plate with two men on base. Leonard dropping a bunt down back to the pitcher, whose name is Kale Kosho. And a bad throw allowed two runners to score, Jake Elmore, Casey Gillespie, and the White Sox were a winner last night, improving to 4-4. Daniel Palka had a two-run homer, and he also had, I'm just looking at players of interest down at Triple A, Charlie Tilson, 1-for-5, he's hitting 194, Ryan Cordell, 1-for-4, hitting 104, so I think that Adam Engel's got to feel pretty secure playing center field right now. Michael Kopech started earlier in the week, went 4 innings, no runs, struck out 8, walked 2, he is going to start tonight versus the Scranton Wilkes-Barre.
They are the Yankees affiliate.
Mm-hmm.
The Scranton
Wilkes-Barre. If you know this, I'm going to like...
They're the Ebons.
They're the Red Raiders, but close.
The Scranton Wilkes-Barre Ebons.
Yeah, you can watch the game on NBC Sports Chicago tonight, by the way. You'll get to see Kopech pitch.
That is true.
Yeah, so that's a nice little option. Starting last night was Don Roach, who's 28 years old. He's been in the big leagues with Seattle in 2016, and then back in the day with the Cubs in San Diego. 6 innings, 6 hits, 2 runs, 3 strikeouts.
So the Sox kept him on the roster. They decided not to throw out the Roach.
They did not throw out the Roach. 28 years old, just a little bit of a veteran presence down there.
I apologize.
That's okay. Double A Birmingham beat the Montgomery.
Montgomery Bobbies.
Biscuits.
Biscuits. It was a B.
They beat them 5-4, now 5-3 on the year. Huge crowd at Regions Field, Harry. 8,683. That's a record. And Sebi Zavala, 1-for-2 in RBI. He's been catching. He's been DHing, sitting .333. Third baseman Matt Rose was 2-for-4, hitting .310 now. 11th round pick of the Cubs back in 2015. He's 23 years old. Not a ton of power there. Ian Clarkin is supposed to start tonight for the Barons against the Biscuits. Benton Moss, 6:30, your first pitch.
Sebi Zavala is supposed to be very good.
Yeah, no, yeah. Stoney and Jason Benetti were talking about him a lot on the broadcast earlier this week and saying a lot of nice things. So Zach Collins also catching down there, so they've been splitting time. Okay. The Winston-Salem Dash, Harry.
Yes.
They're 6-3 after beating the Carolina Mudcats 8-1. They've won 5 in a row. And of supreme interest, Dylan Cease, who came over in the Jose Quintana trade.
Right, from the Cub.
Quintana was terrible today for the Cubs. Cubs ended up winning. But anyway, Dylan Cease now 1-1 with an ERA of 1.69 through 6 innings of work. He struck out 5. He allowed just 4 total base runners, a couple of singles, 2 walks. And he tied a career high throwing 6 innings, taking down the Mudcats. Luis Alexander Basabe, 3-for-5, a double, 2 RBIs. So there, and Mike Rodolfo was also 2-for-4. So the Dash, 11 hits on the night, Harry. Winston-Salem looking good. And real quick, Kannapolis, the Intimidators lost to Charleston 2-1. They'll play again tonight.
Can I guess Charleston's name?
Sure.
The Chew.
Don't actually know what Charleston is. Didn't write that down. I apologize. We can double check. But I don't think it's the Chew. I'm going to go. Great candy bar, though.
Great, especially if you freeze it.
Michael Kopech. Quick timeout. Never mind. We got to get a spot in. And then okay. Carson Fulmer coming up, 720 WGN.
It's great to be back with WGN.
It's White Sox Weekly on the official radio station of the Chicago White Sox, 720 WGN.
Appreciate you, Jerry Reinsdorf. White Sox games are better with a group. Group events are perfect for clients or employees celebrating or fundraising. Bring your group out for specially priced tickets and a great experience. It's never too early to start planning your summer outing. For more information, call 312-674-1000 or visit whitesox.com. White Sox Weekly continuing. Myself, Mark Carmen, and Harry Tynowitz. Thrilled to bring on Carson Fulmer, who is, I guess, enjoying some time off, a weekend off up in Minnesota. Hey, Carson, we put out a text question to the peeps out there. Which current or former White Sox looks most like Southpaw? And Ron Karkovice has been texted in. Ron Kittle, Britt Burns, Bill Veeck got some love. Feel free to jump in on any of your teammates. Go ahead.
Man, you know what? I don't want to get in trouble, man. So I gotta censor that off a little bit. But that's a good question. I'll have to think about that one.
See, I think Southwell's a good looking dude. I like the.
I believe somebody popped into your head for just a split second, and you thought better of it. So just out of curiosity, who might have popped into your head?
Man, I don't know, man. Like I said, I'd probably get in trouble.
So what's it like for you guys right now? Are you guys getting in work during the weekend? Or are you just chilling in the hotel? I saw that Ricky was talking about maybe you would do some work in the cage, pitchers throwing, batters hitting, that type of stuff.
Yeah, you know, we show up, pretty much the whole team shows up pretty early to begin with. But, yeah, we're getting in, we got in this morning, got in yesterday as well. Some of us had bullpens today. Just trying to stick to our routine. Definitely go into the field, get some work in, you know, throwing, all that kind of stuff, and get lifting as well. But yeah, no, we're still able to get our work in, and you know, we're looking forward to the next game. Really,
how do you size up your year so far, Carson? I mean, we're talking about two starts here, but you got a win against Toronto, and then you took on the Rays, didn't get through the fifth in that one. So it's been, I guess, a little bit up and down. But how are you analyzing how you've gone so far?
Yeah, I've actually done a really good job, I think, personally. You know, obviously in the first game, I was able to you know, pound the strike zone. I think for pitchers, being able to throw strike one, which I did quite a bit of the first outing, was definitely beneficial. You know, in the second outing, I think that, you know, for me, just trying to, you know, eliminate the free bases. You know, last game I got behind a few guys that turned into a couple of walks. But I think, you know, when thinking about some positives, I was able to minimize quite a bit. I'm not having those big innings or anything like that. But, you know, for all of us, the more experience we get out there, the more opportunities we are able to pitch on the major league stage, the more comfortable we're feeling. And I think that, you know, me along with the rest of the pitching staff, we're in a great position right now.
In the Blue Jays game, you know, I'm sitting there watching. I'm like, leave him in. And then, you know, Ricky came out and got you. Were you thinking the same thing? You're like, okay, that's just a solid start, and I'm happy to come out right now and go get the next one.
You know, I think whenever you pulled out of the game, it's, you know, you want to finish. We're all really competitive. You know, we want to take the ball and end with the ball. But, you know, I think that, like always, we always respect Ricky's decisions. For me, I had Aaron Bummer coming in, who I have a ton of trust in, and so does the rest of the team. And it was a great matchup. I had to give the ball off to Bummer. But, you know, like I said, I was able to pitch a good game. My offense did a great job of scoring a couple of runs, and unfortunately just turned in the direction we didn't want to. But you always, you know, with the experience that Ricky has and the coaching staff, as a player, you definitely respect the decision, and you go into the dugout and you hope that, you know, everything ends up working out.
Carson, after that game, you said, okay, my next outing is going to be Sunday in Minnesota. Your next outing will now be Wednesday in Oakland.
Maybe.
Maybe. So which one of those is more of a challenge for you? You know, going 3 days after you were supposed to throw, or facing a completely different team than you were planning for?
Yeah, you know, every team that you're going to play in the big leagues is really competitive and very skillful. You know, we spend a lot of time just trying to, even during the games, just trying to watch at bats and try to get some more knowledge on teams, you know, throughout the series. But, you know, the game plan never changes. You know, if it's Minnesota, it's Oakland, it's, you know, New York, whoever we're playing, you know, we definitely take time to study not only the lineup, but certain situations and different counts too as well. So, you know, regardless of the opponent, we're always given the knowledge before the start. So, we're definitely locked and loaded once we take them on.
There were a couple of what we would call base brawls this week. The Yankees and the Red Sox went at it, and after Nolan Arenado got hit, the Padres and the Rockies had dugouts emptied. When you hit a guy, do you ever think, oh, man, if this guy coming out to the mound, am I going to have to hit somebody? Are you, like, checking dugouts and bullpens, see who's running out there?
You know what? I've never been in that situation before. I've only seen it. I've actually never seen one live as well, so... you know, I don't really know. I don't know how to really answer that question. You know, baseball is a completely different sport in regards to, you know, certain things when they happen. But, like I said, I don't have too much knowledge of it. You hear stories about it, but, until then, you know, I definitely don't want to experience it, but if it happens, you know, I'll definitely be there and have, you know, my teammates' backs.
Number 51, Carson Fulmer, White Sox starting pitcher with us here on White Sox Weekly. You just sort of danced around the unwritten rules of baseball, Carson, and you personally, if some guy hits it 420 feet on you and he flips his bat and takes maybe a little extra time around the bases, does that bother you, or do you just look at that as part of the game?
You know what? I really, really don't know. I know a lot of pitchers are very competitive, so they may take it the wrong way. But you know, you got to give the hitter credit as well sometimes, too, if they get a hold of you, tip your cap, and look forward to facing them again.
Right.
You know, it's definitely, it can be sensitive to some people and others. You know, you just kind of play it out when they...
Yeah, I hear it. I think just from like a fan perspective, it's like it's fun seeing a guy enjoying himself out there. It's a big home run. If Jose Abreu, wants to take a little extra time after he hits a home run, I'm all for it. And vice versa, you have to allow it. That's just it's part of it. Jose Bautista's bat flip with the Blue Jays, it was awesome entertainment. I think just from a fan perspective. By the way, Nate Jones has been texted in Jim Thome and James Shields all with us. Looking like Southpaw. That's all coming in here, Carson, just so you know.
Carson, who do you think looks like Southpaw?
Who do I?
Yeah.
Man, you know what? You guys are trying to get it out of me, man.
No, not at all. Not at all. Carson, pitchers, I've always had a fondness for pitchers because there's not only a physical side to your game, but a mental side, especially being a starter. You know, there's so long between starts. And, I know that, if you go into the clubhouse during a rain delay, guys are playing cards, guys are doing, all different things, watching videos. What have been some of the more interesting things that you have done, whether it was during this, because these games were actually called, so, mm-hmm. during delays in the past, what are things you do to occupy your time?
You know what? I'm personally very fortunate to be a part of a clubhouse like we have. We have one big brotherhood, so it's really easy for all of us to get along and hang out. A lot of us obviously hang out on the field, around the field, but we also hang out a lot off the field too. So, a lot of us grab dinner, we grab some food together, come in, we'll go play cards in someone's room, or we'll go in regardless of where it is, we always, obviously, we think about, the situation that we have, and we just try to get to know each other as much as possible and spend as much time with each other, because we understand how important the, a good clubhouse atmosphere is, especially if you want to win a championship.
It's called living the dream. So jealous when I hear that. I'm in the majors. I get to wear the uniform, play card games. It's really it sounds incredible. Hey, Yolmer Sanchez walking around with Omar Narváez's boombox. Do you ever give a? Can I get a? What would be a Carson Fulmer selection that you would like to hear on maybe the day that you're starting?
Yeah. You know what? I've always been a big Jack White fan. I love Jack White's music, The White Stripes. I walk out to it. I love listening to it. I don't know if it would be very appreciative, I guess, on the team because of all the other genres we like to listen to. But me personally, like I said, a huge Jack White fan. Love his music, and usually it's pretty much all I'm playing all the time.
Jack White.
Okay, so then you obviously know that he's going to be the musical guest tonight on Saturday Night Live.
Hey, that's it. I'll be watching. Yes, sir.
You'll get two songs from a Jack White.
Yeah, man, it's I'm looking forward to hearing it. I know that he has some new stuff come out, so... I'm looking forward to catching up on it.
I'm pretty sure I might be nuts because I used to do a lot of drinking in my time, tequila, like all the time. But I'm pretty sure that he's got a part in the movie Cold Mountain. Have you ever seen that? He's an actor in that movie.
I have not. No, sir. It's
kind of a chick flick, but Jack White shows up in it, so that's cool.
We're going to give you a little Jack White in a second here, Carson, but let's do it right now. What do we got here, Dan? There you go.
Dead leaves in the dirty ground.
Dead leaves in the dirty ground. This is what he's going to... It's where you're going to find the A's after he throws against it.
Nah, I can listen to it all day.
Do they play this for you when you at any point?
Yeah, you know what? I kind of have a routine... I always listen to his music before my start, so yeah. With the little time that I have to get ready, I definitely turn them on a little bit and listen to it before I go out. But it's definitely been a major part of my routine.
We're learning stuff here. Carson Fulmer with us for a couple more moments on White Sox Weekly. How much does the weather bother you guys? I know both teams have to play in it, but you got a lot of guys who perhaps are not used to it, and for yourself too. So you know it has not been baseball weather, so to speak.
Yeah, I think it's hard for us to stay loose. For pitchers, we're lucky we're always moving around, but I think that the tackle on the baseball is pretty tough for us. As long as we can try to keep our hand as warm as possible, I think that we'll have a pretty good chance of keeping some grip. But I think that position players, pitchers, once the cold weather hits and the wind starts to pick up a little bit, just continuing to try to keep your body as warm as possible is big. But we're all looking forward to some warm weather coming through, that's for sure.
Carson, there's a lot of guys that are competing for very few spots. And Hector Santiago was on the show last week. Carm had a great visit with him. And he talked about how he knew going in that, you're this, first round pick and the boy, just the amazing things that you can do with the ball. So he knew that even though, no matter how well he pitched, the odds were that he was not going to be in the rotation, that you would be in the rotation. I'm wondering when you have that kind of understudy a relationship with the guy where he's going to be the guy that replaces any of the starters should they go down. What is your relationship with Hector like?
Our relationship's great. The guy's had a ton of experience and a ton of success. And as a young pitcher, you try to surround yourself around guys like that just because of the knowledge that they can, share with you. Hector is definitely a guy I look up to, he with his work ethic and how he prepares for each outing. But like I said, I don't think that a lot of us speak too much about, roles or, situations that could happen. But we try to surround ourselves around the veteran guys. And Hector's definitely a veteran guy that, we all look up to and has had a ton of success. And a guy we spend a lot of time with once we get to the field. But, he's definitely helped me, kind of settle in a little bit. And feel really comfortable, and I definitely look up to him for that and all the knowledge that he's passed on to me.
Yeah, it was great talk to him. It's been great talk to you the second time we've had you on White Sox Weekly, Carson. And your clubhouse that you spoke to earlier in the interview, it's just a great clubhouse. There's a lot of chemistry in there. It's obvious for anybody who just walks in there one time, 10 times. It's clear that you guys are all pulling the same way. It's really cool to see. Do you know when you're leaving for Oakland? Have they sent you the travel plans? Are you guys going to head out early?
No, so I don't know yet. They haven't told us, but it's still snowing pretty good outside right now, currently. But I don't know exactly what time, but we'll definitely all be ready to go and head out to Oakland and win some ball games.
Will you watch the NBA playoffs more or the NHL playoffs when you're hanging around tonight?
Yeah, I'm a huge NHL fan.
Yeah.
Predators? Hockey. I was a Preds fan, but I grew up in Lakeland, Florida, so the Lightning were kind of a team I went and watched quite a bit. But just hockey in general, man. Hockey in general, when it's on, I'm definitely glued to the TV.
That game last night with the Golden Knights and the Kings was so great. 00. Yeah, Carm thinks NBA playoffs are more fun than the NHL playoffs. I don't get that.
I'm a hoop guy, Carson.
And if the Bolts don't do it this year, they're never going to do it.
Exactly. No, I'm looking forward to watching how it plays out.
Carson, always great to talk to you. Appreciate the time. Travel safe to Oakland, and you guys get hot here, okay?
No doubt. Thank you, guys.
Sure. Always a pleasure. Enjoy Jack White.
Thank you.
Carson Fulmer, Chicago White Sox. Jack White is musical selection, and he'll be on Saturday Night Live. Look at that synergy, Harry.
This is a very special day for Major League Baseball. Something happened on this day, and it applies to the White Sox.
All right, we'll do that coming on back next. Your White Sox Weekly on 720 WGN. Hey, head to the park for Dollar Vienna Beef Hot Dogs every Wednesday home game this season. You can take advantage of this unbeatable deal on Wednesday, April the 25th. As the Sox take on the Mariners at 1:10 p.m. You can get your tickets at WhiteSox.com today.
This is White Sox Weekly. Listen for us every Saturday. And this is a special day for Major League Baseball. On this day in 1969, the first ever Canadian Major League Baseball game was played. The Montreal Expos, who had a terrible first year, beat the St. Louis Cardinals on this day in 1969. Now, how does that apply to the White Sox?
Tell me, Harry. Tell me.
Well, because the first game the Toronto Blue Jays ever played was against the Chicago White Sox in 1977. They had a terrible year, but they also won that game. So what was unique about the Cardinals and the White Sox? They had the same announcer. Harry Carey called both the first ever National League game in Canada and the first ever American League game in Canada. How cool is that?
Wow. That was an amazing tie together by you. Really impressive.
Now you're mocking me.
Nah, I would never.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No.
At least you mocked me to my face, which I appreciate much more than the other way.
Who's not mocking you to your face? We don't need to do that on White Sox Weekly, 720 WGN. Hey, another reminder, by the way, join us as the White Sox take on the Minnesota Twins on Saturday, May 5th at 6:10 p.m. First 20,000 fans will receive a Los White Sox soccer jersey presented by Coca-Cola. Coca-Cola, taste the feeling. Purchase tickets. Visit WhiteSox.com. News is next, 720 WGN.
At the wall, the 380, gone. A three-run homer for Tim Anderson. 3-1 White Sox.
Back to White Sox Weekly on 720 WGN.
White Sox Weekly till 7 o'clock tonight. Hannah Stanley is in for Amy Guth. It's her birthday this weekend. That means you can still say,
Goose.
Happy birthday, Amy Guth. Thanks for the pie yesterday. That was very nice of Amy Guth. Where were you, Harry? There was like a fruity something pie hanging around WGN.
I was not aware of the fruity pie. I would have been here for Guth's birthday with or without pie.
Text line 312-981-7200. I think Greg Luzinski looks like Southpaw.
He looks like maybe if you had a couple of, if Southpaw would stand like at an angle, then Greg Luzinski would look like him.
Why can't they say like Scott Podsednik looks like Southpaw? He's doing a great job on NBC Sports Chicago.
He is. And I will always love Scott Podsednik because of what he did in Game 2 of the World Series. You know, I love Kelly Wunsch. If I had to pick a player, Kelly Wunsch.
That is your guy.
Yeah, and Kelly Wunsch. We got to get some of the older guys. We got to get, not older guys, but like, we should get Folky on the show.
Sure.
We should get Wunschy on the show.
Sure.
You know, Soraka, you know, just...
Let's have all Harry's friends on the show.
No, they're White Sox fans.
Sure,
friends.
Absolutely, but they're your guys too.
That was very tight with that team.
I understand.
Okay,
and I'm pro having them on.
Excellent. Okay, so let's preview the
White Sox week ahead.
Yeah, well, I want to preview the. I think it's cool if we preview the upcoming series. This show is always going to be on Saturday, so there's always going to be one game left of the current series, and people will have been watching the games. They'll be listening to the games right here on WGN Radio. So they're going to know all that. But I want to talk about the upcoming series that starts, the next series to start, which would be the Oakland A's. The White Sox will go out to Oakland and play their Monday night, Tuesday night, 9:10, and then they'll play their Wednesday afternoon, be there for the Sox and the A's at 2:35 first pitch. So, you know, right after the 2 o'clock news, Andy Mazur will have the pregame on that day. And just take a quick look at the Sox and the A's. So because the pitching matchups got a little screwed up, it's going to be Ronaldo Lopez in the opener for the White Sox on Monday night, and he's going to go against David Mengden. Mengden has a Raleigh Fingers sort of handlebar mustache.
He looks good. Like it.
That's what I'd like to point out first, and then we can get into stuff he does. He's out of Texas A&M, Hannah Stanley's college. Last time out, he held the Dodgers to three earned runs in five innings. Nobody walked, and he had five strikeouts. So he had pretty good control. And his ERA for the young season is 6.19. So this guy, you can get to him. His whip is 1.31. So I think White Sox have an advantage on the pitching on Monday night.
He's going to be in the strike zone. He's only walked 2 and 3 starts all season long, but definitely given up a bunch of base hits, 7, 5, and 7, all in five roughly innings of work, 5, 5 and a third, 5 and 2/3. So, yes.
And Sox fans know Lopez has been awesome. Lopez has only given up one earned run. He's been just terrific. 13 innings that he has, been hurling the ball and given up 4 hits, 1 run. He is 0-1 because of a, fluky kind of game that went down. But I think they have the advantage there. Tuesday night, I'm not sure who has the pitching advantage. We don't even know who's pitching for Oakland. Oakland sent down Daniel Gossett to the minors. So we're not even sure who's going to be starting for Oakland, unless you have ascertained that information.
Advantage White Sox. Carson Fulmer recently on White Sox Weekly, all of 15 minutes ago. Advantage White Sox.
Yeah, I think Miguel Gonzalez might get the nod on Tuesday ahead of Carson.
Fulmer currently listed, but is that changing?
I think that's changing because of the snow out tomorrow. Again,
okay.
If you're just joining us, the Sox have been snowed out again tomorrow. So Miguel Gonzalez has not been good, Carm. I don't know what it is, but he's had 2 starts, 9 and a third innings. His ERA is 8.68. His whip is over 2. And he's going to get a chance to make amends. Very important to make amends. Tuesday night against TBA. Then Carson Fulmer will get the nod Wednesday afternoon. Daytime affair. Carson is, his last outing was not so great. 5 hits, 6 walks, and 2 hit batters in just 4 2/3 innings against the Tampa Bay Rays. And the A's will counter with Andrew Triggs. Andrew Triggs will get the nod Wednesday. And one hitter you guys should look out for. People don't watch the A's a lot. They're not on TV. But their third baseman, Matt Chapman, has been spanking the ball. He has just been crushing it. He wears 26. And Matt Chapman so far has 5 homers, 12 ribs. He's hitting .358. He's just knocking the ball, tearing the cover off the ball. Last year, he averaged like 1 homer every 21 times up. And this year, he's like 1 homer every 10 times up. So stay away. Don't let Matt Chapman beat you.
And that's a day off on Thursday, and the Sox are back home at Guaranteed Rate Field Friday night, Saturday night, and then Sunday afternoon with the defending World Series champion, who's Houston Astros. And Sox fans, you can join us as the White Sox take on the Minnesota Twins Thursday, May 3rd at 7:10 p.m. The first 10,000 fans will receive a free Bill Melton-themed T-shirt. That's awesome. It's presented by the Village of Bedford Park. Bring your business home to Bedford Park and win big. Purchase your tickets today by visiting WhiteSox.com or calling 866-SOX-GAME. Yes, Harry, you're smiling at me.
Bill Melton. You mentioned Bill Melton. They say don't meet your heroes. You know, I was told that by someone on radio who I worked with for a long time. We'll just call him Mac. And he was right. And I've met a lot of heroes that have just like, oh, my God, I can't believe that guy's such a jerk. Bill Melton's the opposite. Bill Melton was as cool as I hoped he would be. Bill Melton, Dennis Savard is like that.
Yep.
You know, Bill Melton is just the coolest guy. And you mention his name, you can't help but smile.
I was sitting with him in the dugout. He doesn't know me very much, but we were sitting the other day, and I was trying to, just get to know Bill Melton, vice versa. Hey, I'm going to be around, that type of thing. He starts telling me how in the past that he worked in real estate, and he made an over-the-top point commercial, not one of those.
Yeah, residential guys.
Commercial. I'm like, okay.
I don't waste my weekends and my evenings.
I'm not showing bedrooms. Commercial. I'm like, okay, I got you, Bill. You did commercial, not residential. There was a huge issue there for Bill. He wanted to be recognized as the commercial
real
estate guy. Yes, 100%. I think in his view, at least, a little bit more of a, a manly position.
I'm surprised that he would be upset by being thrown in. Like, if you're doing residential, that's not residential. There's some strong money in that.
Yeah, of course, but it's he prefers the commercial.
David Taylor, Scott Hardy. I got lots of friends who do residential.
Of course. All right. Jason Benetti, White Sox TV, sat down with Adam Hogue at the ballpark earlier this week. We'll play a little bit of that coming back for you. White Sox Weekly, 720 WGN. White Sox Weekly, Adam Hoge, who splits the post-game shows with me. He was out of the ballpark this week, and he sat down with Jason Benetti, who does a phenomenal job alongside Steve Stone. So here is a portion of that conversation.
I really like the way that you and Steve are able to get into what I would call constructive arguments about baseball. Now, we got a little testy in Toronto there, it seemed like, for a second. But
so we got some tweets from people like, hey, break it up, you two. Hey, yeah. Stop bickering. Call the divorce attorney. That sort of thing. And we were serious about how entrenched we are in our positions, but we both do listen to each other. I mean, yeah, it did get a little serious, but for good. It's just like you sit and talk to your friend about whatever sure. It is. Like, who's the best basketball player of all time? You're going to have somebody who says not Jordan, and they're wrong. So you end up getting into that argument. I'm okay with that.
Well, in for instance, here in this booth that we're in right now, it's the pre-post WGN radio booth, where our mics are only on when we're doing scoreboard updates in the middle of the game. So while we're watching the games, we're having those same kind of arguments about whatever's happening. And so I don't see any reason why you can't bring that realness to an actual broadcast.
No, and when we do that, it's not a put on how passionate we get about mm-hmm. the argument. Like, I feel like he's missing. Like, what are you doing? What are you doing? And he feels the same way. I mean, he references all the time how much I'm in clown town when it comes to things like sabermetrics and, you know, stats people would use and things like that. So we do. We get passionate about it, but so do you. So does everybody.
Sure.
That's why we watch these things.
What was that about again?
Mm.
Where you guys were...
Reverse splits, I think. I think it was Randall Grichuk reverse splits.
Okay.
Maybe.
Totally worth getting an argument about.
Yeah, I lose sleep over Randall Grichuk reverse splits on a nightly basis.
Who doesn't?
Yeah. So I think that was it, but generally it is, you know, sabermetrics versus old school baseball. But the thing is, what's funny about that is one of those games in Toronto, we're in the second inning, and Stoney goes, well, they've got this stat called barrels, and then he explains barrels. I was like, what? Somebody hit you with a mallet? What's going on? He does get it. Like, he does get it, and I get his side, too. Like, I firmly get the underpinnings of why scouts are important and eyeballs are important, but when we are entrenched, we generally go those two directions.
But you know what? That's baseball right now.
Yes.
I mean, that defines where we've been now for probably at least 5, 6, 7, 8 years with this new information that's coming in and trying to figure out how to use it.
It, you know what, as I think about it, it may have been, we were talking about Jim Cott possibly being, no, that was in the context of Jack Morris. That was a couple of things. But what I'm finding is, as I go through my mind, we do this all the time.
Yeah.
No, but that is baseball right now in some ways. But I do think every team, I think to say there's one side and the other side is gone, I think every team understands that some mixture of the two is exactly the wheelhouse, and that's where you need to be. But in a situation like we were talking about in Toronto and talking to Ricky Renteria about it after the situation with Grichuk, part of the reason he brings somebody in is the numbers. He'll have WOBA, and he'll have batting average, and he'll have slugging and all that against a certain guy. But he also likes to match up the stuff with the player. So if somebody is a bad low ball hitter, and he's got a pitcher in the bullpen whose splits aren't great, but he feels like he's going to stay low in the zone, he may go to that person instead because he believes he has better numbers in that circumstance because of the stuff matchup. But that's both.
Yeah.
But that's both. You know, the underpinning is the numbers, and then you say, well, in this circumstance, I might go against the grain a little bit.
Well, I think that's applying to more than just baseball, too, these days. I mean, there's an influx of analytics in all sports, and everyone's trying to juggle. I do it with football every fall. You know, what is... I go after the game looking at the, you know, the different Pro Football Focus numbers that are out there, whatever. But during the game, it's, you know, you're feeling the matchups. You're feeling who's able to cover who and who's sticking with that. And so only so much of it can be analytics, but it is all useful information. Jason Benetti here on Sports Central, Adam Hoge in the conversation. And Jason, do you ever, you know, Steve likes to joke around with all the different towns that you're from.
Yeah.
Now?
Uh-huh.
Because apparently you claim a lot of them.
I don't.
But in reality, you really are from one town on the south suburbs of Chicago, correct?
Yeah, I'm from Homewood.
Okay.
I mentioned Palos Heights the other day. Yep. Somebody was from Palos Heights, and I said the south suburbs, and Steve claimed that was me saying that I was from Palos. I'm not. I'm from Homewood. And then we had the discussion about whether or not you can be from Chicago if you are from the suburbs. And I know a lot of people get testy about that thing.
I know. I used to. Because I'm actually from the city. Now I live in Vernon Hills. So now I'm the guy I used to yell at when I would say, you're not really from Chicago. Now when people ask me where you're from, I go, I'm from Chicago. And they're like, are you really, in the city? And I'm like, no, 30 miles outside. It hurts me every single time I have to admit that. But
is there a self-loathing thing that you want to talk about right now? I have some time before this game.
Yeah, sometimes it hurts.
Is there a couch?
It hurts. We should get a couch in here, frankly.
Honestly, you should get a couch.
Where I was going with that, though, is you grew up here, Sox fan. Do you ever pinch yourself that, hey, you know, this is – you're taking over for Hawk Harrelson.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Thursday was strange. Being in the booth with Hawk, I mean, like, I'm both 34 and 11 at the same time, you know?
Yeah.
The first impersonation I ever did was Hawk Harrelson. You know, like, as a kid, I'd go running around saying, you can put it on the board. So it's such a – it's a bizarre situation, and it's wonderful in every way. Like, Hawk has been so nice and so great and so complimentary. Seeing that we do two different games. I mean, we are different announcers, but the foundation is we both love the Sox. And I think he and I both have an understanding in that regard. And he knows that I talk about sabermetrics, and I know that he doesn't really like it. Not that I talk about it, but sabermetrics in general. But we do our own shows, and we both appreciate each other for what we are. And I think that's been the really great part of this whole process, is being able to share a booth with him for a little while and talking to him even before I started. I mean, he was very gracious, and it's been great. But coming here every day, during the home opener, I had gone onto the concourse and asked some questions of fans for Hawk, and I spent about two innings sitting with some buddies of mine from high school, just down the first baseline watching the game from that angle. And I was like, you know what? This is pretty sweet.
There you go. A little Jason Benetti, a little Adam Hogg, good conversation right there, Harry. Jason Benetti is just doing a phenomenal job alongside Steve. I'm really enjoying him.
Brilliant decision by the White Sox brass to hire Jason Benetti. He's not only is he a great announcer, but he's such a diehard Sox fan.
And Adam Hogg is a decent guy, too.
Adam Hogg, never heard of him.
Yep.
He's my second favorite Hogg.
We wrap up the show next, and Hannah Stanley coming up, White Sox Weekly, 720 WGN.